Today we're sitting in the office of Edward Ward Jones, Patricia Snook, and Joyce Johnston from the Polk County Historical Commission are in for a treat with a visit with Ward. And I think today Ward is going to start telling us about his early days in Polk County. Today's date is September 10th, 2019. Okay, Ward, it's all yours now.
All right, let's start with my infancy there. First of all, my name is Edward Ward Jones. Technically, I suppose it would be Edward Ward Jones III, because that was my father's name and my grandfather's name. It was the name of my son, and my son, grandson, he's Edward Ward Jones V now. And he says that with some luck, there's going to be an Edward Ward Jones VI. Anyway, I was born 2 months early. I was a seven-month embryo. I had so many things wrong with me medically when I was born that it was everything that my parents and the medical people in this part of East Texas could do to keep me alive the first 12 months of my life. Dr. Harry Bergman was our family doctor at that time. He was an old childhood friend of my father, and I was born in his hospital here on the North Washington in Livingston. There was only one pediatrician in East Texas, a Dr. Park, who had a clinic on South Main Street in Houston, in the area that later became part of Rice University. Mm-hmm. And across the street was a two-story apartment house that, when Dr. Bergman couldn't felt like I was fixing to die, my parents would take me to Houston. It was an all-day trip there, and there was a wooden bridge across the Trinity River that washed out regularly in those days. And once, when I was in desperate circumstances, the bridge was washed out and Dad had to put the car up on the railroad track and go across the railroad trestle there to far enough there at Urbana to where he could get it back on the highway and go on to Houston with it. But my parents would take a room there across the street from Dr. Park's clinic, and it'd be maybe a week that they'd have to stay there that he could, it took him to pull me through. For the first 12 months of my life, my mother's milk was poisonous, and I could not nurse. The only thing that I had to eat for my first 12 months was cooked farina cereal with mashed up ripe bananas in it, and the only thing I could drink was goat's milk. And my father couldn't milk an animal there because when he was about 21 years or old or so, he was hitching up a team on the farm, and the mule bit his hand there to the bone on the thumb of his right hand, and then reared up, stripping all of the leaders and flesh off of his thumb, and he could not thereafter bend his thumb to milk there, and couldn't even sign his name except just laboriously draw it there. So he always signed his name E.W. Jones because he had to do that much less writing on it. But we went through this business of going to Houston a large number of times for that first 12 months to manage to keep me alive.
Well, we need to know what day you were born. We need to know your birth date.
I was born on January 21, 1929. I was a depression baby, which is another story. Like I say, it was an all-day trip to get to Houston there on old Highway 35. The reason we've got a highway coming through Livingston here from Houston was that my father was farming down on the Trinity River there, and Judge Ed Murphy, the county judge at that time, had land adjoining it just to the west of there in the Long King Creek area. And they found out somewhere about the time of World War I that the Texas Highway Department had drawn up plans to pave one of the very first to pave the highways in the state of Texas that they numbered as number 35. And they proposed by their plans to go from Houston to Cleveland, and then from Cleveland to go to Cold Springs, and then to cross the Trinity River at what's now Onalaska. It was known as Patrick's Ferry then, and then cut through the woods directly to what's now Corrigan and leave everything in between, just unimproved land. And that didn't suit Dad or Judge Murphy and a few others. And Dad and Judge Murphy and one other man put up $100 apiece. And Judge Murphy, who had been in the legislature before he came back to Polk County and ran for county judge, the Murphy family were Moscow people. And Judge Murphy and Dad were childhood friends. And he had understand how politics worked in Austin from when he had been over there. And he took the $300 and went to Austin, and there were three men on the Texas Highway Commission, and they got $100 apiece and immediately changed the plans to where they went from Cleveland with the existing railroad there through Livingston and hence on.
And so what year would that have been?
That would have been about the time of World War I.
Okay.
I can't tell you the exact time, but Judge Murphy then appointed him as one of the three men to acquire the right-of-way through Polk County for the highway. Its route more or less followed the railroad.
Sure.
There, as you crossed the Trinity River and came into Polk County, it was on the east side of the railroad and went on more or less like that to Livingston. With it could be a few hundred yards off one way or the other, but it basically stayed on the east side of the existing HE and WT railroad, which was it was a standard gauge. But it originally went through Polk County as a single gauge, narrower road. Right. Then after 5 or 6 years of that, the railroad company changed it to a standard gauge.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ward, how long did you have to make this trip to Houston before you were healthy enough that your parents could take care of you? You said that the first 12 months of your life,
that's right. Approximately 12 months, I pulled through the premature problems there was relatively healthy after that. My sister Mary Hazel was born at home and here in Livingston, and she was a very healthy child.
Mm-hmm.
Mother and Dad married rather late in life. Mother was born in 86. I was born in 29, so that will tell you how old she was. She was getting toward the end of childbearing age and was in horrible health. She had to have several major operations in Scott and White Hospital in Central Texas before I was even more than 4 or 5 years old. Dad was 51 years old when I was born.
Oh, my goodness.
And he had been in bad health all of his life. When he was 21, he was a cattleman from the time he was 15 or 16 years old and made his living on a horse. His cattle ranged on the open range from the farm, which is 2 miles east of Leggett, over to Onalaska, and then up to Groveton, and then back from Groveton to, in a triangular shape, to the starting point. And he realized, he said, there was something wrong. He wasn't feeling well, but he didn't let that stop him during the rest of his life. He worked, and so he got on his horse in the hot summer day, and he was up in the La Rilla Hill area, just this side of Corrigan, doing things like a cattleman does, you know, with his cows. And he became so sick that he lost consciousness. And his horse carried him back through the woods to the farm east of Leggett. And he said that he remembered his mother and two of his brothers getting him off of the horse and putting him to bed. And my grandfather's older brother, Dr. Virginius Jones, practiced medicine there in Leggett. And they went and got him. And he said he came and sat by father's bed for 2 weeks and pulled him through, but he never was strong and really at himself the rest of his life after that.
That illness was when you were a young boy?
No, that was years before I was born.
Before you were born. So he, okay.
Dad was 49 years old when he and Mom married.
Married, okay. So, all right. So I misunderstood when that, I thought that was later in life, but he was a sick man from...
No, you had my sister and I as young children with older than normal ill parents there.
But you lived at Leggett.
Well, we lived in Livingston. We were living in Livingston when both Mary Hazel and I were born.
Okay.
Dad had lost all of his money just before the Depression hit. Mm-hmm. And then everybody was broke during the Depression.
Correct.
There for about 8 or 10 years. But they lived in 2 or 3 different houses at the very earliest months of my life. The one of them was a house that Mr. and Ms. Peters owned, right behind the existing bus station here in Livingston. And then they rented a house at the intersection of what later was developed as Garner Street and Highway 146 that J.W. Cochran owned. Mm-hmm. And we were living there when Mary Hazel was born. And I remember the day of her birth quite well, and thereafter pretty well. There was no bridge across the little branch there that crosses Garner Street. That's another story. As a matter of fact, the street itself pretty well ended at the top of the hill there where my aunt's house was later mm-hmm. built. And it was just a kind of, you had to go on foot and jump across the creek to get from one place or another. And Dad built, and of course, you got that floodplain there north of south of Garner Street between where the house we lived in was and my aunt's house that was built prior to that time at the top of the hill there on Garner Street. And then he built out of lumber kind of a walkway across that to where they could go in the winter across that flooded area. And there was a constant going and coming between our house and the aunt's house. When mother had to be in the hospital for those operations, I stayed there with my aunts. They were substitute parents for all of us.
And give us their names.
The oldest one was Cornelia. She was born right after my father, a lovely lady. And then some few years after that was Aunt Claudine, that we called Aunt Claudie. And then the youngest of the sisters was Effie. And
but there were 2 more sisters.
Yeah, but I'm talking, yeah.
Oh, you're talking about the ones that lived there in the house.
I'm talking about the ones that lived together in my house on Garner Street.
Okay.
And never married.
Yeah,
right.
Their dad's older sister was Ms. Nellie. Was Nellie that married B.B. Martin, Sr. He was a county agent in Tyler County, and I don't know where else during his life. And that's another long story. In his latter years, he and Aunt Nellie moved back to Livingston, and he and Dad were partners in the real estate business. And then my Aunt Winnie, after some years there, married a man named Charlie Williamson, and they had one son who had an unfortunate accident and died just as a young child. there's a some dispute in the family as actually what he died. One is that he had tuberculosis, or not TB, or the other that he drank some washing day lye.
Oh, bless. Oh.
Died. His name was Marion. Mm. He was quite young when he died. And both of them in their last years moved in with their sisters there on Garner Street. There was all five of them living together.
Oh, my goodness.
Through the main part of their lifetime, you had Aunt Cornelia and Aunt Claudia and Aunt Effie living there. They, in the early 1930s, Aunt Cornelia and Aunt Claudia were school teachers. Aunt Cornelia taught in three or four different little rural schools around. Mm. The one I remember was at West Tempe. And in the early 1930s, I mean 32, maybe somewhere around there, they went into the florist business as the flower garden. And they had a refrigerator in the living room of their personal residence to keep the flowers in. Just an ordinary residential refrigerator, and they later developed it into a rather nice business. For a long time, it was the only floral business in Livingston, and then later they got some competition, but it was dominant. It was not unusual to them to have as much as 300 pieces to prepare for some big funeral.
My goodness.
It was a day and night operation, and all the family would come in and help. The women would help doing various things, and all the kids, we were delivery boys there, and people to go to Houston to get flowers. And it was a family operation there. The Jones family, let me emphasize this point, were an extremely close, loving family. That we worked together, we descended upon each other, and we helped each other. We're in constant communication with each other. And that lasted for most of my life until the last of our aunts died. They're all buried together, and we bury at Jones Prairie Cemetery out east of Leggett.
In Leggett.
My grandparents, Jones, are buried there, and all of the number of their children, some of them got away, including Patricia Ann's family. But anyway.
Ward, could you tell us, as a youngster, how did you spend your days when you lived, especially over on Garner Street? So were you just working? I mean, tell us what, as a young boy, was your typical day?
Well, you understand and we're talking about a kid that was a maximum of 4 years old.
I know, but did you have a lot of freedom, or did you have to hang around the house? Mr. Kugler said that he had so much freedom that, you know, in the summertime, no shoes, and could just wander along King Creek. And so I just wondered sort of, you know, what your day was like. Because
you probably did that when you came back after 6 years old, probably.
Well, I didn't wear shoes until I was in high school, except to church. But my mother was a stay-at-home mom, and she took care of me the biggest part of the time. If it was necessary, my babysitter was my Aunt Wendy Williamson's stepdaughter, Blanche. And Blanche took care of me if I needed any take care of. Like I say, I remember that I had practically no toys. I did have a metallic car that I referred to as my Zip. And we still have it, incidentally. It's in a display case there in our home. And the house sat about 3 feet or so off of the ground. And if it was raining or whatever, Blanche would let me play underneath the house with my Zip. I don't think they allowed me to go up to the aunts by myself. That would have been considered too dangerous. I was closely supervised, I'll put it like that. Well, there wasn't any turning me loose, go anywhere or do anything dangerous, except when I say that. And I remember one of my first occasions was mom, who made a practice throughout her lifetime of taking a nap after lunch, going to sleep, and I got a, it was sugar cane season, and there were several of those cans of sugar cane there in the kitchen, and I went and found the family butcher knife and went out on the back steps and was cutting that sugar cane up and chewing it there when mom caught me. Counseled with me about not doing that.
I like your choice of words.
I was very limited on what I could do. It was either I was at home just being a little kid, or I was over at the aunt's socializing, and their home was just a second home.
Sure.
For me, and several of the cousins. Mm-hmm. I was the youngest boy cousin, and spent a lot of time with our aunts.
Yeah.
But
did you start to school in Livingston? And
no. Well, let me get to here. At one point now, when Mary Hazel was old enough to walk, I know, my dad's uncle, Willie Matthews, who was an orphan child from the Civil War, so at least his father was killed in the Civil War, and his mother managed to raise her only daughter there, which is the oldest child, mm-hmm. and four younger brothers. The hard way, a little 100-acre place out east of Leggett. And Uncle Willie, as a 12-year-old, was driving teams from the Leggett, Moscow area, hauling cotton to Galveston. There it took 3 months to make the round trip.
Good there. Hands.
And he would go with other wagons from this area. But he started trying to help support the family when he was 12 years old. And during his lifetime, did a number of things. He didn't have hardly any formal education. You understand there wasn't any public education to speak of. And at one time he was county surveyor, and for many years he delivered the mail in a buggy all over the southeast part of Polk County. And he got into the real estate development business. And at one time, he owned all of the land in the south west quarter of Livingston, out as far as Shokes Creek Monkeen Creek, and developed it, and ended up a fairly wealthy man. Mm-hmm. For Livingston, he built this commercial building here on Main Street that Perry Brothers and the Fair Store and all mm-hmm. of that was in the second block up from the courthouse, north of the courthouse. Yeah. And he married once kind of well along in life, and the marriage lasted 6 months and ended in divorce. And the time I was old enough to remember, he was living by himself. His home was on Marsh Drive, just in behind the library museum area there. Mr. Walter Willis was on the corner. And then the second house, there was Uncle Willis' house, and what's now school property and the football field and all of that. The football field was nothing but a sand patch there with a very rickety grandstand on the north side of it. And we moved there and lived with Uncle Willie maybe as much as a year, no longer than that, when I was, we'll say, 3 years old. Mm-hmm. Mary Hazel was just barely able to walk during the time. And she and I played around the house and back where the football field is and stuff. And on the east end of the stadium was the briar patch with 8 or 10 foot tall briars in it. And we started to go up the grandstands, and Mary Hazel fell off into that briar patch, and they snagged her clothes. And you understand that she's a year and a half old or something mm-hmm. like that. She's there screaming in the briar patch, And I ran 100 yards or so to the house, and Dad was there, and he got a hole and came and chopped into the briar patch and rescued Mary Hazel, I remember. We got counseled about where we played and what not to do and all of that. But I was probably 4, maybe no older than that. We moved to the farm there, which is 52 and a half acres, 2 miles east of Leggett there on, now, FM 942, and lived there. That was a different life. I told you that my dad was a cattleman. Up until I got out of high school, a week or two before I got out of high school, he ran later when the days of the open range in Polk County ended, and well before that time even, we ran a mother cow herd of about 70 cows plus a couple of bulls. And Dad supported the family principally by butchering a couple of yearlings every week. And he'd sell one to Snellen Meat Market here in Livingston and one to Barron's Meat Market here in Livingston. And I worked right with Dad from the time I could walk. After a short time, I could do a pretty good job of butchering 400 or 500 head old steer calf myself. So we had this huge pecan tree in the lot, and it's still there, though the top's been knocked out of it by lightning at least twice, and it's only a fraction as big now as it was at that time. But we kept a block and tackle tied up to a limb, and I got to where I could pull a yearling up almost by myself, and Dad let me shoot kill him with the .22 rifle, and I got good on butchering them there too from the time I was a kid. And we lived up there, we will say, during the 35 and 36 34 and 35 is what I'm trying to say, because we moved to the hill country on January 1, 1936. What had happened was my mother's parents owned about a 1,100 acre sheep and goat ranch at Cedar Park, about 20 miles or so north of Austin, and grandfather had started the first limestone quarry south of Indiana there on the ranch. Incidentally, the trim on the courthouse here in Livingston and on the now demolished city hall and post office was limestone that came from our quarry.
Oh, wow. And
the San Jacinto Monument and the UT Tower were built of limestone from the ranch. It was the only limestone quarry in this part of the United States.
Goodness.
And matter of fact, it's still operating. It's gone through several ownerships. But anyway, they died. My grandmother's parents both died within 4 or 5 months of each other in 1935. And there wasn't, out of the 7 children, none of the others felt like that they could go and take care of the livestock and whatever. And in desperation, because there wasn't any other way that could be, Dad and Mother, just on fairly short notice, just had to get up and move from Leggett to Cedar Park, where we lived 4 years. We moved back on January 1, 1940, exactly 4 years later. In the fall of 35, we were living out east of Leggett, and I started the first grade under Ms. Maud Lisbonby, who was a fixture in the Leggett school.
I remember that name. Yeah, I did not.
She was, at that time, already getting along in years.
Mm-hmm.
And the first day of school, well, before school even started,
because they had passed a law that all the children had to be vaccinated against about three things. And all the old farmers up there threw a hissy fit. Wasn't nobody going to shoot them dead germs into their kids? They'd take their gun and kill anybody that tried to do that, etc. And Dad and Mom were well advanced to there, and they had a big meeting there at the schoolhouse. And Dad and Mom convinced them all finally that this is a good thing, and we all got vaccinated with no problems. Dad, when they passed the federal law under President Roosevelt's administration there to seize the control of the cattle down here, you had a tick infestation at that point that was killing the cattle in Texas. And the law required somebody to be appointed in each community and to build a dipping vat. It was on where Wendy and Mac live now, the Thomas place, and they appointed Dad to do that, and they'd gone through that with the old farmers up there. Wasn't nobody going to make me dip or kill my cows, et cetera, et cetera. And Dad wore a pistol from the time strapped to his leg there from the time he was a kid until 10 years after it made the penitentiary offense, and the sheriff told him he had to take the pistol off. That and a 30-30 rifle got the cows dipped, and nobody really gave him any trouble there. But he walked around armed to the teeth there for maybe 1 year while they went through that, and Mama was scared to death, you know, that there was going to be a killing and so forth. It was all done peacefully. But anyway, they were well advanced in their thinking. Of course, Mom had she never graduated from college there. Mm. She had about 2 years at UT. And then started teaching school out in West Texas. It was about 5 miles from the schoolhouse to where she was able to get a room to live. But she had to ride a horse back and forth, and something happened. The horse threw her after a couple of years or so and broke a leg. And she had to resign and come back home until her leg healed. She later taught in Beaumont a year or two. And then they organized the extension service in Texas there under Texas A&M. And she was one of the very early home demonstration agents. She spent several years in Jackson County living at Edna. And I don't know why, but she found out that there was a vacancy in the job in Polk County in 26, and she came up to meet the commissioner's court seeking employment, and one of the commissioners during the course of the meeting said, "Miss Allen, do you own an axe?" And she was taken by surprise and said, "Well, I don't own an axe, but if it's necessary on the job, I'll go buy one." So he explained that the roads, there were no paved roads in Polk County, you understand, except this Highway 35. None of the others were. And that she would probably get stuck making her calls around with us. And she organized the farm women into clubs. There'd be a club in each little community in Polk County. And she'd go around once a month, you know, and give them lessons in sewing and cooking and preserving food and all of that. And that she would probably get stuck, and she'd have to get out and chop some limbs off of the pine trees and stuff and put them under the wheels to get out of the mud hole. So she got hired, she bought an axe, never did use it. She and Dad met each other then.
And that was going to be my question.
Her supervisor was dating County Judge Ed Murphy. So the the young people started double dating. I say young people, these were middle-aged people.
Right.
By that time, started double dating, and they became unofficially engaged after several months. And the rule with the extension service that only single women could serve, and that when you announced your engagement, that was automatically a resignation from the job. So they delayed publicly announcing the engagement until the spring of 26, and married in the summer of 26.
Oh. And that's, you know, this has been really interesting. I think we're at a good place that we could stop for right now. I'm impressed with your parents. You've talked about that, you know, your father was an ill man, and yet he continued on doing some really amazing things with his life. And as an ill man, he was out, you know, with the cattle and taking care of the land and willing to move from Leggett to Leander and, you know, take up what needed to be done there. So it's an impressive story that you've given us, Ward. And if it's all right with you, we can stop with this part of your life, and then Patricia and I'll come back next week or the next, and we'll take up from here.
Whenever you want to.